Today, we are in a series called Story. And we shared some stories last week, and today we're sharing more stories from folks here at Restoration.
So I grew up in a family where being part of a family was super important. Church and sort of going to church and the ritual of that was always part of our life. Youth group was part of our life every Wednesday night. My parents were senior high youth group leaders. And so I grew up with all that being woven into who I was. And I went to high school, I went to boarding school, and I was very different than a lot of the kids there. It was in New England, and it was a lot of kids whose parents let them do whatever they wanted, and my parents would not sign me out every weekend. My parents would not let me go to unknown locations, and so I was not a very cool kid. On the outside growing up, my family looked awesome. And on the inside, my parents were great, my brother was great, but I always felt like I wasn't good enough. I didn't catch up with the other kids. I wasn't ever skinny enough. And so that kind of manifested then in high school, end of high school career, feeling really not great about myself. And I decided to completely transform myself before my first year of college. And so I spent that summer, I was going to college down in North Carolina. And if you know me, you know I love a post-it note. So I had post-it notes all over my room that said things like, go meet the neighbor down the hall, or join a club, or run for student government. Like all these sort of pep talk reminders for myself. And simultaneously, I was working with a personal trainer. And so there was a physical transformation and also sort of a social transformation that happened that summer. So I went to college and I didn't know anyone. And so I could be whoever I wanted to be. And sure enough, I walked down the hall and knocked on the door and said, hi, I'm Tori. Hi, I'm super social and excited to get to know you. And I put on this sort of persona my whole freshman year. And it took until about October for that to start fracturing, because it's hard to keep that up. And what it had manifested into physically was an eating disorder. And so by the time I went home for fall break my first year, it was clear to my mom that I was really sick. And so I spent most of freshman year and sophomore year trying to sort of avoid doctor's appointments and avoid weigh-ins and avoid people looking at what I was eating, but dealing with this war between looking perfect on the outside and never actually feeling that way on the inside. And so I cheated my weigh-ins. I had lots of ways of getting around them. And so I was continuing to lose weight. I was continuing to get less healthy. But on the exterior, I went to church every Sunday and I was part of both InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was going to be part of everything, and I was still student government, and I was involved in a sorority, and so it looked really great, and it didn't feel great at all. And so gradually I recovered from the eating disorder, but I would say that was sort of the beginning of a period in my life of feeling like I never am quite enough. I never sort of match up to this standard I have for myself, and it started to filter into I'm not at the stage I should be in relationships. I should be dating someone, or I should be married. And then once I got married, okay, now I should have a family at this point, and I should have 2.5 kids, and my career should be here. And it was always a game of racing to catch up to that. And only in the last maybe 5 or 6 years have I really started to learn that there's a balance that I have to live with, that I will never reach a finish line that I think is good enough. I have to learn to live in the balance where I am. The church we attended prior to Restoration, everybody was enough. Everybody was more than enough. Like, everyone's hair was done for church, and the kids all looked perfect, and even our pastor and his kids, like, their family was perfect, and he always talked about them in their sermon, like, they have these beautiful evening prayer times where the kids all knelt around the bed, and I never felt that way. So again, it went back to how I felt in college when I had to put on the facade of, oh yeah, no, we're great and we're doing really well, and you know, we totally understand where we are in our journey and God is part of that. And I didn't ever feel like I could match up to everybody else there. But with Tim, it felt like it was okay to not be perfect and to not be good enough and to have things sort of be just a little bit messy in our lives. And that's the grounding, that's the foundation of our relationship with Restoration, is not trying to be something that we're not. And for me, Restoration, and what I hope people experience when they come to Restoration, is not the church looking at them and saying, gosh, I can't wait until God grows you into something greater, but people looking at them and saying, gosh, it's awesome who you are right now. Let's just get to know who you are right now.
Well, good morning. My name is Scott, and I'm going to tell a dad story. So this is my first Father's Day as a dad, and I can't help but to think about my father on a day like today. My father was very supportive. In high school, he attended nearly every cross-country meet that I ran in. Now, in case you don't know, or in case you can't imagine, watching a cross-country meet or being a spectator at a cross-country meet is probably one of the most boring events you can attend. If you're lucky, you get to see the runner maybe once or twice. And usually you only get to see a runner twice if you run, and so you're only seeing someone for several seconds. But every Saturday morning, my dad would get up early, and not only would he attend the cross-country race, but he would help set up our tent. And he, after working all week, he'd never grumble or complain. He actually enjoyed being there, and so that really meant a lot to me. My father was not only supportive, he was also forgiving. In high school, my parents let me drive our old Suburban. It was a big vehicle with 8 seat belts, so I could haul around my friends in high school. I could go to and from school, or I mainly took it to and from school. But as a super attentive teenage boy, I didn't have a full appreciation for the warning lights on the vehicle. And so, in particular, I chose to ignore the oil warning light for about a week. Luckily, nothing happened, but on Saturday, my dad decided to drive the vehicle to run some errands. And on his way to his first destination, halfway there, he started running into some problems. The car started rumbling, so he had to pull over. After he pulled over, the car eventually would not work at all, and so he had to get the vehicle towed. And after he talked to the mechanic told him that the engine had seized up completely due to lack of oil. And the only way to fix it would be to install a new engine. So, as you can probably tell from the story, I was in the doghouse. But when my dad came home, or after my dad talked to the mechanic, my dad actually was not angry with me, which I was surprised. Well, he was probably angry with me, but he didn't yell at me, and I really avoided punishment. In that instance, he actually chose to forgive me instead of actually getting upset at me, which he had every right to. And so that meant a lot to me. I still remember that to this day. So, as I've stated before, I guess I'm going to change gears a little bit. I'm a new dad as of 10 months ago when we welcomed our daughter, Catherine, into this world. Being a new dad is wonderful. She's out in the back. You can kind of hear her. It's just you feel so blessed welcoming home the first additional member of your family. You get the excitement of hearing dada for the first time, and now we get to hear it over and over again because it's one of her favorite words, which is a lot of fun. You get to experience precious moments like when your daughter gives you a kiss. But being a new dad is tough. You're taught many abrupt lessons. You're taught flexibility because the baby's schedule trumps your own schedule. If you enjoyed eating out at 7 p.m., that's likely not going to happen because you've got to get the baby to bed at a decent time. You're taught patience because it takes a lot of time to get the baby ready to go anywhere. You're taught that mom is number one in the eyes of your baby, and rightfully so. Dad is lucky if he's number two. Your baby basically wants to do just about everything with mom. And then at least initially you learn to worry about everything. Are the car seat straps too tight? Is the bath water too warm? Or is that spoon that you're feeding her too full? Being a new dad is challenging. And as a new dad, I've had to learn some new dad skills. I've had to learn how to change a diaper. I was tasked with changing the very first diaper in the hospital, and that one's a doozy, to say the least. I've learned how to get your baby to fall asleep, how to get your baby to stay asleep after carefully placing the baby in the crib. I've learned how to shop for your baby, or for my baby. I found an entire new section of Target that I didn't know existed. I've learned how to feed my baby a bottle, bathe the baby, install a car seat, build a crib, and baby-proof our home recently. as she started to learn to crawl. I'm only 10 months into this whole dad thing, and I understand that there's some more dad skills that I need to learn along the way. In the years to come, I know I will have new challenges that I will need God's help with. But through it all, I hope that I'm as supportive and forgiving as my father was with me. Thank you for listening.
I was born in Ghana. We came here when I was 5 years old. And that meant that, like, I knew absolutely nothing. I didn't know how to speak English. I barely had any friends. And it was difficult. Through my journey, I think others have impacted the way I kind of experience God more than I have myself impacted the way I experience God. And what I mean to say is what I've seen through other people helps me see God. So this summer I'm going to be doing the summer camp, the basketball camp. And I hope that leads to, you know, like a mentoring in the school somehow. I want to be able to change lives. And I wasn't really thinking that way before I joined Restoration. I think the one thing about Restoration that I love is that we are always thinking about the community. We're always thinking about how we can make a difference on the kids in that community. I love kids. I don't have any kids yet, but I do love kids. And I want to be able to make a change on kids' lives. I want kids to, you know, be in a safer space than I was when I was young. I think Restoration found me, in a sense. I kind of had I was having a tough time, a tough week. I had just moved into Reston during that time. And it was kind of tough to meet people. My tire was, flat, but I didn't notice it until I started driving. And I live right by Restoration, right down the street. So I stopped to change my tire at Restoration, and folks were waving. And I'm like, okay, so this is a church, but they're at a school. And I said to myself, maybe I'll stop there next week just to see what it's like. It won't hurt. I've never been to a place where people say your first name on the first day they see you because you have a name tag, of course, yeah. But, following weeks, people say your name, people call you by first name, and it feels like this is a place where, you know, I can call home. This is a community. And I don't know, I've never felt a part of something more than what I feel at Restoration now. I don't know, I feel connected to this church in a way that, you know, I want to be a part of our dream. I want to do things that, you know, will help us get closer to that dream.
Happy Father's Day. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ken Herbert, and my wife is Jean McCall. And we've been coming to Restoration since March 2017, thanks to Sage Bolte's invitation. Thanks, Sage. I am a dad with 5 children, 3 stepsons, Alex, Luke, Graham, from Jeannie, and 2 daughters, Rayanna and Catherine. In short, being a dad and husband has been very challenging for me, and the most rewarding that words cannot do justice. I am so blessed. I have heard many things and have read many things about being a good dad, father, etc. I say you need to genuinely show up and be present, and the journey will bless you. I am proof of that. I like to share a small part of my story on how this dad made it right with his own dad while he was alive. I believe and now know how critically important that was for me. A little bit about my journey started. I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, raised by a stay-at-home mom, a father who worked hard as a machinist and played hard. I had a brother who was 3 years younger than I was. We regularly attended a Roman Catholic church, CCD, communion, confirmation. From the outside, it looked completely normal, but on the inside, it was not. My dad was an emotionally wounded husband and father who was absent most of the time. When present, under the influence of alcohol, with abusive results directed toward us. I now know that my dad tried to play his cards as best he could, but in the moment, rage and hatred darkened my eyes. I said goodbye to God, church, and family. I drifted toward discipline and structure and was very comfortable in these environments. I attended Virginia Military Institute and did very well, which led me to a 21-year career in the United States Air Force, working in highly disciplined mission operations with intercontinental ballistic missiles, GPS satellites before any of you knew about them, radar systems with the highest levels of security clearance. I was flying with Eagles in my career. But inside of me, my emotional life was a mess, which had impacted my past marriage, being a good dad, and my daughters. I needed help. I was afraid with getting real with myself, where that would take me. I began counseling, which led me to attending a support group called Celebrate Recovery. I found a church, started reading the Bible in February 2006, and it actually started making sense to me. Go figure. I'm still reading it and still learning. In May 2006, while practicing on a softball field, I asked a young minister who was on the team if he would baptize me. He said yes. We found a creek, and he baptized me. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Did my life change that day? Yes. Did the events in my past go away or disappear? No. Did I experience renewal and a new start? Yes. With the counseling and Celebrate Recovery, I knew it was time to make amends with the people I'd hurt and forgive the people who have hurt me. Looking for nothing in return, I knew I needed to do this to be a better dad for it. As I've learned through my journey, God has a bigger plan. Mother's Day 2007, I was coaching my youngest daughter in softball. I thoroughly enjoyed coaching both my daughters in the sports they enjoyed. My parents were attending the game, and my dad was slowly declining. During the game, he came over to me in the dugout and asked me where the restrooms were. We were at the Vienna Community Center fields at that time. So I pointed over to the community centers and said that's where the restrooms were. From this point, something happened, like God nudged me. I then told my assistants, hey, I got to go help my dad out. So I escorted him across the field, but noticed that the outside entrance restrooms were locked. I told my dad to keep walking. He was very slow due to a poor heart. I ran to the front of the community center and saw that it was open. Yay. I ran back to my dad and shouted for him to come toward me. Not seeing a raised pathway, he tripped and fell extremely hard. I ran to him. He was on Coumadin, so started to bleed. He was scared. He had tears in his eyes. I comforted him. Out of the clear blue, a grateful woman appeared and asked me if I needed help. I said, thank you, but I got it. Never saw her again. Never saw her again. Another blessing. We arrived at the community center restrooms. My dad had a little accident. It was just too much for him. I took care of him. He asked me why I was doing this. I said, I love you, Dad. And my dad said, I love you too. And for the first time in my life, I believed him. He passed away the next year in May. His last year, we made amends. I knew and accepted my dad. He played his cards as best he could. I love my dad. I look forward to seeing him when I go. I'm grateful and thankful for those moments. With this event, the burdens and chains of anger, resentment, disappointment slowly disappeared. With the amends I did with my ex-spouse, my daughters, my family, and my friends, my life became richer, lighter. I was helping others through many community events. I was experiencing a new level of compassion and empathy in my life. I enjoyed every moment I had with my two daughters and my mom. I then prayed, if my journey was to include a partner, Lord, please nudge me. 3 years later, in 2011, I met Jeannie and her boys. I'm so grateful and thankful for her and the boys in my life. In closing, I am so thankful for all the blessings and trials that I have experienced, not alone, but with my Savior the whole way. I am reasonably happy in this life, and I know I will be supremely happy in the next. Thank you for letting me share my story.